Hi, everybody. This is Steve Savitsky here, and today we have a very good friend of the Orthodox Union, Rabbi Yitzhak Adlerstein, who is a professor at Loyola Law School in Los Angeles and also part of the editorial board of the Jewish Action. He writes many articles, speaks all over, and it's a pleasure to have you on the program, Rabbi Adlerstein.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Well, great. You know, the reason I really wanted to speak to you is because you wrote a very interesting article in a magazine called Ami Magazine. And I guess, you know, when you're always trying to sell magazines, especially magazines that sell, right on the newsstand, it's important to have good headlines. So it said, Modern Orthodoxy at a Crossroads, Crisis. So why do you think we're at so much more of a crisis than we've been for the last few years? I mean, what's changed?
I think that events of the last couple of years have pushed a potential ideological division in the world of modern Orthodoxy, perhaps past the point of no return. And there is a big quandary out there about what to do about it. There are two positions clearly about dealing with what, for lack of a better term, some of us call the far left.
The far west. You call
the far left.
Oh, the far left. Okay, good.
Far,
I knew you were on the west coast.
Far west is a wonderful place to live.
Okay. Yes, I know that. I know that. Right.
Far left, I have my doubts about. And what really inspired the article was the buzz on the RCA listserv. The RCA has a wonderful closed listserv, open only to rabbis or members of the RCA. And following it for months and seeing the hand-wringing and the indecision, and then knowing about some of the issues that have come up at RCA conventions, about membership of potential membership of people who are graduates of Chofei Torah, about dual membership between members of the IRF, the International Rabbinic Fellowship,
right,
and RCA at the same time, has stirred up a lot of conversation. I think it's important to realize that this article, although I wrote it, was not a product of my own febrile imagination alone. There are many, many, many people within the RCA who have very, very strong feelings about what's happened in the last couple of years about the agenda, the announced agenda of what's sometimes called open orthodoxy, of different groups on the left margin of modern orthodoxy today, and what other people see as a major breach with Masora.
Right. So you're saying that even though we all believe in, let's say, the Big Ten theory, there are people who have gone too far to the left, and we're better off, or the Jewish community is better off, not having them in the tent anymore.
No. I'm not ready to say that. If I thought it, I probably wouldn't publish it, because that's a decision that has to be made by far greater people. If you look at the article again, you'll see that what I was proposing, not even proposing, really writing about, was a decision about something much more modest than that. It was about membership in the RCA. The RCA is the umbrella organization of modern Orthodox and sometimes not so modern Orthodox rabbis of America. It is the largest rabbinical association out there. And in a world that is changing as rapidly as ours, there are many people who feel that the RCA has to be the articulated voice of a good segment of Orthodoxy today. There are other organizations. We need them all. They're doing fine jobs. But there are many issues that those organizations won't or can't touch. And the RCA should be out there explaining what Masora is, what authentic Judaism is, what Torah Judaism is, and that you can't have too big of a tent and function in that manner. Because when you stand for everything, you stand for nothing. And there are lots and lots of people within the RCA who feel that there are people on the left who've gone so far that they don't really speak the same language anymore and are seriously compromising our whole notion of Misorah.
Are most of the issues regarding women's issues, I mean, and women tefillah, things like that, are those, would you say that's really the major breaking point?
So, many people, if not most people, would say that the agenda, the articulated agenda of some of the groups on the left, looking at, you know, like the Morthodoxy blog and much of the material that comes out of YCT, does push the envelope in that direction. Personally, I don't think that's the issue. It is where the breach sort of is manifesting itself. But some of us, and I may be in the minority, feel that what really is at issue is something far deeper, more important, and more fundamental. And it has to do with the nature of Misorah, the nature of authority, even the way we read halachic texts. That there is something very, very different about the way some rabbis, they're wonderful, wonderful people whose intentions are l'shem shamayim, and whose intentions will certainly be rewarded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu one day, but that doesn't lessen the responsibility of the rest of us to point out that they are doing halacha differently.
They're not following the Misorah, Rebbe Talmud relationship that is characteristic of Torah Judaism.
Well, that's part of it. That's a very broad way of looking at it. That it happily is one that it would be shared both by people on the right within modern Orthodoxy and even those on the other side of the divide who would say things in the same way. Now, the Rav Soloveitchik had a phrase that he applied to innovations that he thought were inappropriate, or at least the attitude of those who wrote what he thought was irresponsibly. He called it machish megadeha, that there is something terrible about contravening the will of those people who are the Balei Misorah. In every generation, there are people, they don't ask for the job, and they're not born with that label, but they are those who are the greatest Talmidei Chachamim, those who have spent the longest amount of time bringing their minds in sync with the thinking of the Torah, and those are the people who we have always gone to. This is not a matter of speculation. You just read the Shilas and Tshuvos literature of any century for hundreds of years, and you see the questions that plagued communities and where they were brought and the role of responsible Talmidei Chachamim in addressing those issues.
And so are you saying that some of the people there consulting are not necessarily responsible?
No, I'm saying that they are not reacting to the text the same way because they have not been taught to check the conclusions they come up with from texts with major Talmidei Chachamim. The way that halacha is often done is by finding the result that they want, and then afterwards looking to see if within the vast corpus of rabbinic literature you can find somebody who says something similar and say, aha, gotcha, we can always rely on, you know, such and such, on the Minchas Pinchas. This is not the way, even when people are makel, which is legitimate, often in halacha, but if you go through Shilas and Tshuvos, if you sat in the Beis Medrash, you know that whenever you're somech, whenever you rely on an opinion that is disputed by others, it's your responsibility to show that the opinion that you're citing is is more attractive or at least as attractive as others. You don't just pick one off the shelf and say, hey, there's something out there in rabbinic literature that would support or allow for such a conclusion, and therefore we're acting within halachic parameters.
Okay, so you see that as the differentiation between the Torah world and this world which is emerging or has emerged to the left.
And I think that, unconsciously they have crossed lines, and they are not mindful of what the rest of us. That means the rest of us within the modern Orthodox community, and certainly those outside the modern Orthodox community, regard as Torah authority.
Well, you know, you quoted the Rav earlier. And the Rav was always, I don't think there was a lecture he gave without saying the covenantal community. He didn't call it the modern Orthodox community, the covenantal community. Do you think that's the right? I mean, I don't really know what the definition of a modern Orthodox community is. So maybe you could enlighten me a little bit.
I don't think I can. I don't think I'm going to go that way, because people are looking at this dispute as what is Orthodox and who's being pushed out of Orthodoxy. I don't think you or I or anybody else can define it. Somehow the Ribono Shalom, after 120 years, is going to call each one of us forward and ask us what we did with our lives. He's not going to be interested in labels so much, but he is going to be interested in saying, did you really use the tools that you had available and that I gave to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai to translate my Mesorah into action? I can't define Orthodoxy. I can, though, insist that if the community that I'm part of wants to be heard, wants to be visible, wants to make an impact on others, it has to speak with a strong voice. And you can't speak with a strong voice when there is so much discord within an organization that people have lost the ability, really, of a common basis with which to look at the same texts. And I do think that we have arrived at that.
Mm-hmm.
That people on different ends of the modern Orthodox community can no longer sit down over a Magen Avraham or a Prima Gadim and come up with anything that looks the same.
And so what you suggested then, I mean, in your article, was that the RCA formed a small committee, a small based in, and you mentioned the three people, and felt that they should be the ones who should decide. Have you ever proposed that to the RCA, and did you get any response?
Well, first of all, it wasn't my proposal. I don't think this is. It wasn't even the first time that such a proposal appeared in print. The RCA today is clearly divided into at least two camps, and probably three camps. You have people who are all the way on the left, you have people all the way on the right, and you have lots and lots of people in the middle. My own impression from all of my colleagues and from interacting with people, which is far from scientific, is that the majority within the RCA consider themselves traditional, still believe in the way they studied Torah back in their days in yeshiva, the importance of Torah leadership. People all the way on the right will use words like Das Torah, while people further to the left will shudder at the words, and yet they still have the same kind of concept. They won't call it Das Torah, but they're saying, look, in the end, when we have questions about any halachic matter, or even hashkafic matter, we want our congregants to come to us for guidance. And we expect that they don't listen to us just collegially, that they see us as conveying, as best as human beings can, the sense of our tradition, of our Mesorah that comes from our learning. Why should we rabbis be any different? There are good questions being raised here. Is this an innovation proper? Is it going too fast, too soon? Is it something that never will be allowable? Is it something that could be allowable, but the community is not ready for it yet? In the end, what do? Do you take a vote? Are we really egalitarian and democratic about the way we do Torah, either for individuals, small communities, or the community as a whole? There are people on the left who would be shocked at any other answer but But yes, of course, that's the way we do it. And some of the others, especially people in the center and the right, would say, of course not. The decisions ultimately are made by listening to the guidance of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim that you have within your own community. You don't go outside your community at times if you feel that those Talmidei Chachamim can't understand you. But the modern Orthodox world is blessed with major league Talmidei Chachamim, and those are the people to whom we should go. Not to a voice vote, not to a plebiscite. We're not going to put it on a ballot. And those people, it's their job to get input from people in the field, from people who have specialized knowledge. But in the end, the way this was always done, and there is nothing to suggest that today that model should change, is that Talmidei Chachamim have a huge input in deciding the intractable questions that other people simply can't put to rest. So why shouldn't we, in the Torah world, go to those Talmidei Chachamim whom everybody else respects as the people at the top of the pecking order? And there was some discussion about this, and people said, you can't do that, and why isn't Rav Aaron Lichtenstein on the list? And the reason that was very simple, because Rav Aaron Lichtenstein is in Israel and not here, and probably also he's further.
Of course, I understand that. But do you think that, when we define the left, I know you know many of the rabbis who you might put in that category. Do you think they really want to stay within the big tent, or are they really looking to get to the point where they're pushed out and then they have no choice and say, well, listen, what choice did we have? I'm not sure. I'm asking you your opinion.
I'm not either, and I'm going to be a little bit naive here. One thing I can say about those people whom I do know in that category, they're nice people.
Oh yeah.
And I don't think that they are the conniving chess player types. There are others who are, but the ones that I know are not, and I think they really do want to stay within the Big Ten, because much of what they say is that they won't be satisfied just with introducing innovations in their own shuls. They've already done that. What they really want is that the rest of the community not only will wrestle with these issues, but come to adopt those innovations as their own, and then they'll move on to the next one. This is a matter of public record. This rhetoric is there in the public domain. I'm not making it up or introducing anything new. So I do think that they want to stay within the public domain, and I think that one of the reasons why we're seeing a backlash, and part of this is a backlash, is because they have been so in your face about it. They have, over the last couple of years, taken not to internal publications, but they'll publish in general Jewish publications meant for the general community, so that the word gets out there. Hey, there's a new orthodoxy in town, the kind that you could really live with. Or if you're not ready to live with it in practice, at least you can respect us when you can't respect the rest of those fundamentalists down the block. This is creating a tremendous pressure on other rabbanim, on traditional rabbanim, who now have to sort of answer to their congregants, who are not always sophisticated Talmidei Chachamim, why can't you be like Rabbi X down the block, who's allowed X, Y, and Z? And when he either gives an answer that they can't understand or gives an answer they understand but don't like, so he's left in a very difficult position. So they have taken to direct mail, to ads, in papers, essentially announcing that there's a gentler, kinder orthodoxy out there. And that inevitably is going to lead to others to say, well, you may think you're gentler and kinder, but we're not so sure that you're completely orthodox.
I mean, I think also sometimes there are the congregants. I mean, what I've seen also is that some of the congregants in some of these communities and some of these shuls are much more to the right of where the rabbi is proposing that the synagogue goes. And I see, as I travel, some kind of a backlash on the part of some of the congregants, really pushing them more towards the middle as opposed to going further left.
I can tell you in my own experience, the most strident invective that I've gotten as editor of a blog in which some of this discussion is raging right now, because I published a response by my good friend Rabbi Michael Broyd, who took a very, very different position from mine. But not all of the responses I've gotten have been published, but the real vitriol came not from rabbis and not from people in the Haredi world, but from lay people in the mob, well entrenched within the modern Orthodox world, who say, what is going on? This is not the Orthodoxy that I know. Why can't you guys just make a decision?
Right. I want to ask you just one more question about, because subsequent to your article, Rabbi Ginsburg wrote an op-ed piece, which you responded to, and I'm trying to understand Rabbi Ginsburg's approach. Is Rabbi Ginsburg just saying, let's just get rid of them, they're gone, anyone? So according to Rabbi Ginsburg, anybody who graduates from a particular school is out? Is that the criteria? I mean, what's the criteria to decide whether you're in the tent or not?
Well, I can't speak for Rabbi Ginsburg's criteria. He's a wonderful guy, a beautiful Jewish neshama, and I know him well for many years. He is coming from outside the modern Orthodox world and acting with a certain sense of frustration. People who are not part of the modern Orthodox world and part of the Haredi world, looking in the modern Orthodox world, don't always see a lot of subtlety. It's easier to see what's wrong and to see the flaws than to see what's right. I think in the Haredi world it's the opposite of that. What's right about it is very open and manifest and out front and externalized, and you have to dig deeper to find the flaws. With modern Orthodoxy, it's a little different. You walk into the shuls, and the decorum's a little different, and the women's dress is a little different, and you hang around the parking lot at pickup time when the kids are released from school, and you hear the kids acting a little differently than you might in the local Beis Yaakov. So people say, "What is this modern Orthodoxy about? It's all trace." They don't know, and I did not have such an easy time with this article, you should know. There was an earlier draft of it that I had prepared before the RCA battle, but around the same issue, that I submitted to another magazine, which will go unmentioned, and it was turned down because they simply did not want me writing positive things about modern Orthodoxy. They said, this has to be fabrication. Modern Orthodoxy is dead. I mean, they still have some shuls left, but they're not going to last. The whole thing's a joke. Now, I don't believe that, and I want the right wing world to know that as well. So I think I did an adequate job and a more than respectful job trying
you
to
did, you
introduce.
Did an excellent, you did an excellent job, and I think we're so fortunate to have someone like you who can see so many different options and see the diversity, understand the different communities, and with a voice of logic, reason, intelligence, portray that. So I really thank you so much for coming on the program. Thank you for speaking out, for having a blog, for writing articles. It's important. And we look forward to other interviews with you in the future.
Thank you.
Be well. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.